The policy of the regime between 1935 and 1938 was dominated largely by the SS, the Schutzstaffel, the black uniformed elite organization of the party, very different from the SA, which had been a street organization, was a mass organization. The SS was originally to be a bodyguard for Hitler personally, but in the late Weimar era, as the party was moving toward power, the SS also took on certain police functions within the party, trying to find spies, police spies, communist spies in the party. And after 33, it would continue those police functions, especially looking for opposition or opponents of the regime and involving itself in racial policy. Between 1935 and 1938, the favored policy of the regime toward the Jewish population of Germany, a policy favored by the SS, was what was called Entjudung, the German term. It is a profoundly ugly term. In German, it sounds every bit as horrific in English. It means de-Jewification. That is, encouraging Jews to leave Germany while, of course, leaving their financial assets behind. Unlike the Soviet Union after the Second World War, where Jews had a difficult time receiving permission to leave, the Nazis didn't put up roadblocks to Jewish immigration. But Jews were going to leave their assets, their financial assets, their real assets behind. And, of course, it was difficult for many Jews attempting to leave Germany after the passage of the Nuremberg Laws to find other states that were willing to take German Jews in the midst of the Great Depression. Policy then between the passage of the Nuremberg Laws and 1938 would continue in this vein of encouraging Jews to leave, seizing Jewish assets. Certainly, the Nuremberg Laws tended to segregate, not in a physical sense. There were no creation of ghettos or any of that sort of thing, but created invisible walls between the Jewish population and their, quote, Aryan former neighbors. Then in 1938, the policy would shift again. There is a new momentum in Nazi Jewish policy. In early 1938, Hermann Göring, who had been, as you'll recall, Reichskommissar for the Ministry of the Interior of Prussia, he was also head of the German Air Force, would now become the head of the four-year plan, a very ambitious economic plan intended to make Germany economically self-sufficient within, if not 4 years, then certainly shortly thereafter. And Göring would initiate a series of policies aimed at identifying all Jewish financial assets in Germany, clearly anticipating seizing those assets at some point in the future. The annexation of Austria in the spring of 1938 would lead to a new departure in Nazi policy, as Adolf Eichmann, a minor official in the SS, oversaw Nazi Jewish policy in Austria and came up with a plan that was not simply to encourage Jews to leave, but to force Jews out of Austria. So that in 38, by the spring of 1938, the regime is already thinking of ways not simply to encourage Jews to leave, but really to find a way to force Jews out of German Central Europe. Then, in November 1938, on the night of November 9th and 10th, a massive pogrom that stretched from one end of the country to the other, from north to south, east to west, was conducted by officials of the National Socialist regime. All over Germany, synagogues were burned, Jewish businesses ransacked, individuals attacked, a number of people beaten and killed. It came to be known as the Reichskristallnacht, or simply Kristallnacht, the night of broken glass, for all the shards, the shattered glass that littered the streets of Germany. This Kristallnacht marked the first nationally coordinated, nationally sanctioned campaign of violence against the Jewish community of Germany. In the past, there had been lots of this thing at the local and regional level. It could always be explained away as the excesses of local Nazi officials. But this Kristallnacht was clearly a regime policy. It was hatched by Joseph Goebbels. It was conducted by officials, actually, and representatives of the Reich Propaganda Ministry, not the SS, not the SA. And it was typical of the way in which different Nazi agencies and individuals competed to demonstrate their ideological fervor. The fact was that even after Kristallnacht, this devastating pogrom, there was no one agency of the state or party that was responsible for Jewish policy. The SA had taken the initiative between 1933 and 1935. Thereafter, the SS had played an increasingly central but not exclusive role. The Office of the Four-Year Plan was increasingly involved after 1936. And the Reich Propaganda Ministry under Goebbels had, as we've seen, initiated the pogrom of November 1938. When war broke out in September of 1939, the vice was closing, certainly, on the Jewish community of Germany, but there wasn't a single agency of state, no one individual in charge of Jewish policy. There was considerable confusion about Jewish policy, the direction of it, but one thing that was absolutely clear by 1938, indeed, much earlier in the regime, of all of the various promises, of all of the various things that the Nazis had talked about before 1933. They certainly cared about the Volksgemeinschaft. They cared about restoring German pride and honor. But they were absolutely dedicated in the most ferocious possible way to a racial view of the world that saw its first victims as the Jews of Germany and then beyond.